It's time for Wisconsin Life. U.S. entry into World War I in 1917 fueled a wave of anti-German sentiment across Wisconsin and the nation. The fervor was particularly acute in Milwaukee, the most German city in the country. Historian John Goethe tells us how German Americans bore the brunt of war.
Germans were the largest ethnic group in Milwaukee, and they had been since 1860. This was by no means the only one, but this had the most sophisticated dramatic groups, art societies, music societies, and it had an image as the German Athens, the Deutsche Athen of America. They were diverse, but they were united by their sense of solidarity as German speakers. There would have been a relatively united front in the early years of support for the German homeland. And you have to remember, this is the home team. This is, in many cases, the country people had left still remember. They still spoke the language. So there were portraits of Kaiser Wilhelm on many living room walls, dining room walls in Milwaukee and throughout Wisconsin. And it also now, obviously, you look back and you say that's the enemy. But in the early years of the war, from 1914 to the time the U.S. jumped in 1917, Woodrow Wilson's declaration was, we are neutral in fact as well as in name. So people were free to express their support for the German and Austrian cause. The U.S. enters the war on April 17, and almost overnight, you have this propaganda campaign rolling into high gear, and the goal was to rid Milwaukee of every last vestige of Germanism. And there are these savage cartoons of the bloody Hun, you know, the German as butcher. German language instruction was banned from the public schools. The local orchestras could no longer perform Bach or Beethoven or Brahms. The statue of Germania, which stood atop the Brumder Building in downtown Milwaukee, was taken down. Some of the name changes, you look back now and they're almost humorous, but the probably the best private school in Milwaukee was the German English Academy, and they had to change their name to the Milwaukee University School. You have the Deutsche Club, which was among the really, you know, highly regarded social clubs in Milwaukee. They changed their name from the Deutsche Club to the Wisconsin Club, and so they've been ever since. You had a lot of Schneiders who changed their names to Taylor, and a lot of Schmitz who became Smith. The Milwaukee Journal had a reporter named Perry Olds, and his self-appointed job was to read the stories in the German language press in Milwaukee and kind of analyze their war coverage. And then he would write, obviously, in English in the Milwaukee Journal, what he considered exposés of pro-Axis sentiment. Actually kind of an enemy inside the gates is what it amounted to, and emphasized this was not just a Milwaukee phenomenon. The Pulitzer Prize Committee said, what a great idea, and gave the journal a Pulitzer back in 1919, after the war by that time, but it was in recognition for the journal's efforts to expose and root out German sympathizers. German culture was pretty much cut off at the knees. When you think of German culture here, you think in terms of kind of the bass note. You know, it's not the melody, it's kind of the bass note.
Wisconsin in the First World War, a special Wisconsin Life series, continues all this month. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Catch more Wisconsin Life on Wisconsin Public Television Monday nights at 8:30 p.m.
Now we dig deeper into how anti-German sentiment during World War I affected the lives of people here in Wisconsin. As we just heard John Goethe, he joins us now. John, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
So tell us a little more about how German Milwaukee was in the early years of World War I.
The first year that the Germans were in the majority in Milwaukee was back in 1860, and they remained at least half of the population through all those years. To this day, people of German background are about 38% of the metro area's population, which is still the highest in the country. Obviously, there's a lot less self-identifying than there was back in the years around World War I, a century ago. But this has always been a real stronghold, as Wisconsin has, of German settlement.
So was it, a big wave of Germans in that first part and they hung on to their identity? Or did we keep seeing more Germans follow their predecessors into the area?
It was more the latter. It was more the chain migration. You have the first wave is the years 1830s, 40s, 50s. The first Germans arrive here in Milwaukee back in 1839, which is, what, that's 7 years before Milwaukee becomes a city. So they really dig it into the ground floor. And you have that first massive wave in the mid-1800s, but it continued through the later 1800s, although it was less robust than the emigration from Southern and Eastern Europe. And there were also people who had been displaced by World War I, and later on people who had been displaced by World War II. So the Donauschwaben, the Danube Germans especially. So there still there are multi-generational families in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin, you know, who trace their roots back to Germany.
Now, a lot of that time period you're talking about back in Europe was the time when all these disparate German principalities and whatnot were unifying. German nationalism was on the rise. Were people here in Wisconsin watching what was going on there, maybe even actively participating as much as they could in the politics of the homeland?
Not so much. There was the big kind of a watershed was 1848, when there was a revolt against royal rule in Germany. And it was the intellectuals, people who had college educations, which was quite rare back in those years, who were in the vanguard, actually on the barricades. And they won for a while. The royalist forces pushed back, and they exiled the so-called 48ers. And a lot of them came to Milwaukee. They were never a huge group. But they were a little like yeast and bread. They really helped the whole body rise. So the 48ers, people like Carl Schurz, you know, the famous Wisconsinite, served in Lincoln's cabinet. They were the ones who were behind the dramatic societies, the arts groups, the musical groups. So they really did help to make Milwaukee the Deutschaften. But then 1871 is the year when all those fiefdoms and principalities and duchies and kingdoms are united as Germany. And that was not so much a popular movement as Bismarck saying, "You shall." So it was not a democratic movement. And certainly people followed that. But I think, as it is for virtually every immigrant group, they were emigrating largely for economic reasons. You know, there were issues of overpopulation and lack of opportunity in the old country. So they came to the U.S. and specifically to Wisconsin because they thought they could live better here.
Well, moving up to World War I, it sounds like a really dramatic, fast shift where all these German groups were out and about and doing their thing and commenting on World War I. And then all of a sudden, when the United States went to war, very much out of favor. Was it really such an overnight shift?
It turned on a dime. And to show you how open the support was, there was a bazaar back in 1916 that filled the Milwaukee Auditorium. And it was benefits for the relief of what they described as German and Austrian war sufferers. So the wives and children of soldiers who had fallen already in the conflict. And this was sponsored by people like the Blatzes and the Brumders and the Vogels, a lot of other leading German families, and they drew 175,000 people. And that was about half the population. And they raised, about $150,000, which would be, maybe a few million today. So that was just a very open and accepted show of support for what was the home team for the German immigrants here. And then we jumped in on April 17th, 1917, and almost overnight, it was just that would have been considered the height of treason, basically. So it really did turn on a dime.
And how did the German Americans in Milwaukee and elsewhere in the state respond? Did they push back? Did they try to demonstrate their patriotism or just try to keep their heads down?
They tried to keep their heads down, and the people are largely gone now. But I recall back in the 1970s talking to some older Milwaukeeans who said that they used to have to, when they were downtown shopping or on errands, they used to have to duck into doorways to speak German, because if you were even heard speaking German on the streets, people would look at you askance. So this was, the word hysteria is not an exaggeration. It really was kind of a mass anti-German hysteria. So pushing back would have been decidedly imprudent.
How would you say that World War I and this anti-German hysteria changed our culture in the long run here in Wisconsin?
The main impact it had was it kind of, in a very, very important ways, denature is perhaps too strong a word, but it certainly compromised what had been a self-conscious German culture, both in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin and in the entire country. For decades before that time, there had been just a real strong sense of cultural competence, if not superiority. And after the war, that was really pretty much eradicated. You know, there was, back in the 1970s, 80s, I was working on a directory of ethnic resources in the Milwaukee area, and there was one woman who described herself as a speaker, an expert on German culture, and she added the qualifier before World War I. And that really tells you something. You know, there was, after the war, there was not an awful lot going on. Just, it's almost comic opera now, but there was after the war, this is October 1919, about a year after the war, the Pabst Theater was one of the finest German language stages, probably west of Berlin. And after the war, a year after the war, they made plans to stage Wilhelm Tell in the original mm-hmm. German. And there was a band of war veterans who actually aimed a cannon at the theater and said, just try it.
John, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
That was John Goerde, Milwaukee historian, talking about anti-German hysteria in Wisconsin during World War I.